Blog.
Good evening, all. This is Bud Justice on the line. It's been some time. Welcome back. Welcome back. We have the distinct privilege of interviewing a cat who's been on the scene watching over our movement here, the medical marijuana progressive politic of the economic future, our garden culture economic future. And he'll be dropping in at any time. I hope I pronounce that correctly. Jim, if you need that guest call-in phone number again, that's 347-539-5989. So again, feel free to dial us up. I was hoping that you'd be in the queue already. But needless to say, we're going to move forward with tonight's segment. Welcome to Gregorian Tuesday, May 1st. And there is, well, there's a great deal of activity in the streets of Portlandestand and Seattle. You know, back in the day, we used to celebrate with built-in fires and our ceremonies and stories and songs and celebration and gathered in the lodge and do an anipi, have a sweat lodge where we would we'd be in that longhouse telling stories and dressing up in our costumes and really acting out the archetypes and exploring the creative imagination. But today, in the 21st century, the theme of May Day, Gregorian first, is that of civil unrest and discord. We've got activity in the streets of Seattle. We've got more Occupy activity in the streets of Portland, and of course we've got Obama flying over into Afghanistan to commemorate or to mark the assassination of Osama bin Laden. What a poor choice in days or dates to choose for martyring whom some would consider to be a modern day John Wayne, to stand up against the tyranny of the United States government and to profess Islam and to live and die by that practice is an incredible act of manhood. And I doubt that many of the representatives, politicians, or the people in America have had the chance to experience the benefits of a personal practice like that of Islam, the contact prayers and the quintessential facets of yoga and meditation and prayer, and the honoring rites and what have you, the pilgrimage, the retreat, fasting, Ramadan, and just, you know, the simple pillars that make life worth living and regenerate your fervor for more life force. So needless to say, this is our alternative to peace and celebration. Tonight we're going on the wire. We have some progressive politics at play. Jim has made it on the switchboard there, so we do have our guest host who's been on board for quite some time and not going to steal any fire. He's got some insight, and I'm primarily creating a forum to flesh out the activists and those who have energy in formulating a view towards how we can best care for ourselves, how we can extend that care to others, and without any disrespect to those who have brought us this far, want to simply create a forum where we can dialogue about what's happening and really try to flesh out the most comprehensive view towards not only this up-and-coming election for district attorney, U.S. district attorney, and also for our mayor, but also how we are formulating the most successful social welfare, and I use that word with reservation, welfare, but the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program is the most progressive program generating revenues for the state at this time, and we're not even talking about the savings, which have yet to be accounted for through projects like the of economy and culture that are occurring as a result of our 14-year program. And now that we've got 16 states on board, there are another 18 states that have drafted legislation in the attempt to decriminalize this herb. And Oregon still maintains the seat of creative leadership on the West Coast, and for good reason. And we're going to hear from Jim as we bring Jim in to pick up on his view and see, just catch up with his work. Jim, are you there?
All right, sure I am. How are you doing tonight?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us.
Giving you a shout out from Eugene here.
That's right. That's the capital of the activists central, Eugene, Oregon. They put us on the map.
Well, I'm high on top of the activist tower here to talk a little bit about the medical global marijuana march coming up this Saturday.
Got this Saturday.
I dialed in last Sunday to same station here for Dr. Rick Sagenbord. So, do you know Rick?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for those who don't, he was a 2010 U.S. Senate candidate, and he's the founder of Veterans for Peace International, and he does a weekly blog show on the air there at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. He's going to be one of our featured speakers. This year we're trying to get a lot of the medical marijuana reform people to speak here in Eugene. So we've also got Lynette Shaw. And I've choked up here from the kush, former California Attorney General candidate and founder director for Marin's Alliance for Medical Marijuana. I don't know if she's ever been on your show, but she's a really interesting guest. She's running into the same problems as Steve D'Angelo and some of the other dispensaries with the IRS not allowing standard business deductions.
Yeah, I've got her in my friend address book online, but I've yet to dialogue with her or really catch up. I know that she has been involved for quite some time, and I suspect that she's probably having to take a back seat and kind of tone down some.
Oh, yeah, she's actually, I just talked a little bit ago, she's in L.A. and trying to get up her entertainment career going again. A lot of your listeners may not know she was working out with Jim Belushi just before he died to go out on the road with the band.
Wow, far out, man. Far out. Yeah, I'd like to touch her head.
Oregon roots go way back.
I'm telling you, as far as Rick goes, met him through the Oregon Progressive Party. He's a very passionate cat. Great speaker at that. We just endorsed Rocky Anderson with the arrival of John Paul, or not John Paul, where's my mind at, Jim? Who's our
Ron Paul?
Ron Paul. I'm thinking Led Zeppelin.
Dr. Paul.
Yeah. So they did a tandem type of tag team. Overview of their platform views and their passions, and Rocky's on the road with it, and so we do have a national candidate for presidency, a third party candidate, and he came to Portland, Oregon to make that to initiate his campaign, a progressive political think tank that does endorse our views in terms of the OMMP. And why don't you bring us up to speed about some of your work and some of your background with this movement?
Well, why don't we focus on the global marijuana market? I've got a few more speakers I want to talk about. I'm a board member of Voter Power and have been for a number of years, but, you know, that organization started and got the OMP program going before I was a board member. You know, probably one of the other locals here from Oregon that is going to be speaking is Jim Carr, and he is he's going to be running for the November ballot for state legislature in District 1. He's running unopposed on the Democratic ticket right now for the primary. And he's a former chair for the Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana and current vice chair. So I hope all of your listeners down in the Brookings area will get behind Jim Carr's campaign. He could use some help.
Since he's running unopposed, what does it take to get him in that seat?
We're going to do an analysis tomorrow evening. There's only 9,000 households, so I would think somewhere in the 3,500, 4,000, or even lower than that in a primary election, somewhere in the low 3,000 votes should do it.
I see. Okay. We might have to get on the horn and do some kind of volunteer call center campaign to encourage those people to vote.
Right, yeah, we'll have to do a lot of education down there in District 1. A couple of the other guests we've done Lynette. Oh, Shelley Fox Loken. She's a retired Oregon Department of Corrections officer now speaking with LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. What a great group.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been really putting it out there in more ways than one, and it's good to see people like waking up to the obvious and making some serious choices, and that's definitely a serious choice when you go from one side of the coin to the other. Leap ahead. Who else is going to be showing up down there? This is this Friday or this Saturday, right? And Eugene?
The march starts at 11, so we're asking everybody to join us about 10:30 at Free Speech Plaza.
Free Speech Plaza.
And then
we'll
do a lap around our Saturday market and get back to the Free Speech Plaza, ready for our high noon kickoff.
Okay.
And for those who don't know, Free Speech Plaza is at the county courthouse in 8th and Oak, downtown Eugene.
Downtown Eugene, okay. Dynamite, yeah, we need the details on that.
All right, and then another one of the speakers is going to be Bob Wolf, and he's the chief petitioner for Ballot Initiative 24. That's the one that would allow for the adult use and possession of marijuana. That's the big one. That's what's going to bring out the voters.
Yeah, I caught up on an article that was on Talk of the Town, and they were they were given a full thumbs up and saying that it's more than likely going to appear on the ballot, and that the effort to gather those signatures is well underway, and it looks good.
Oh, yeah. We passed the 100,000 mark on the signature drive, so well underway is an understatement. We're above the power curve to get on the ballot, that's for sure.
I think there's something else, too, that needs to be brought to light when we talk about these petition drives, because the majority of people may or may not be aware that they are actively engaging the general public with dialogue about this very issue. And so for every signature that we don't get, we pitch at least 3 to 4 people. And so there is quite a hum and a buzz in the streets. And there's actually quite a hum and a buzz within the social fabric of our communities throughout Oregon that are putting it out there in more ways than one in terms of the benefits and the absolute necessity in embracing these measures or looking at this issue and wrapping your minds around what's going on in the big picture. It really draws people out. And now we've got some candidates here. We've got two candidates that are up for a vote for mayor, and so it seems as though we've got an opportunity to possibly leverage our up and coming elections to try to get definitive about what our representatives are going to do or what they're willing to do in addressing our views and our concerns. What do you think about the vote coming up for Dwight and Ellen?
that is going to be the first time we are going to make the entire nation aware that we are a voting force to be dealt with. For those listeners outside the area here, Dwight Holton is a former U.S. attorney who ordered the big major raids down in Southern Oregon, closed several dispensaries, and then said that the OMMP is a train wreck in a recent debate with Ellen Rosenblum. So we're definitely behind Ellen Rosenblum. Ann Witt, the attorney who first contacted me and got me involved with the campaign, will be reading a statement from Ellen at the Global Marijuana March. In that primary, the ballot should be in everybody's hands at this point, all the registered voters. So anybody that's a Democrat, break it out now. Break out your voter form and take a look at the attorney general. I should put a big X there for Ellen. Make sure you get that down and back in the mail before the deadline.
That's right. You know, we are a voting force, and until that came to light with the cannabis campaign to roll back prohibition and actually roll back a number of programs and even police unaccountability. I mean, the ground that we've gained through our measure and through the vote, it gives us hope and inspiration that we can make a difference, and we can actually participate in change, and we can play an active role in that, and know that it does work. And within that, we have to find our common ground, considering the diversity of interests that we have going into this think tank. So May 15th, make sure that you do vote and put your mind to the vote. And in this case, I'm putting it out there to those heads within the inner ring of our movement, that we use this vote to flesh out the views of both candidates and try to put in motion some definitive positive changes that will refine our measure and make it something that other states can really look up to, and that we can feel good about and move it into the highest light that we can possibly dream. So we've got that cooking, and we've got the Portland vote coming up. I don't know if you have an opinion about that. I know Sam's done a good job.
I really haven't watched the mayor race there. Our mayor here, Mayor Piercy, is up for re-election. And since he's given me a couple of proclamations for Medical Marijuana Awareness Week and Medical Marijuana Awareness Month, I'm definitely behind her.
Her name again?
Kitty Piercy.
Okay.
Former state legislature, says she's running for her re-election here in Eugene for mayor.
I see. Okay.
The only two progressive members of our Lane County Board of Commissioners, Pete Sorensen and Rob Handy, are both up for re-election. So okay. I've got my Rob Handy signed out my front yard. I'm not in Pete's district, but Pete is a great guy and a very good champion for veterans issues. You may have caught on the news tonight, City of Eugene is again flying the POW flag, and they're going to be flying it on a daily basis now.
Interesting. They're against the POW flag, but they're going to be...
No, my sister actually is a former state president for Vietnam Veterans of America, and she, about a week ago, she had asked Kitty if they would fly it on a daily basis, and she quickly agreed, and they had the ceremony today.
All right. Well, that's meaningful. Yeah, it's a good day. That's a good day for it, too. Well, it sounds like you're on top of your game, sir. I saw a couple of posts about the Seattle activity, and I was taking the bus through Portland today, and I noticed quite an uproar with the Occupy movement, and just thought I'd ask you point blank, in terms of with the OMMP and with the potential for the program to become a dynamic social force for economy and for health and well-being and culture, do you consider, are you happy with the program? Are you happy with the direction that it's going in?
Yeah, I think the three biggest complaints for most patients are the 12 by 12 inch ruling, no access to medicine, and no reimbursement for growers. There's a number of other issues, labor issues. You know, people are still getting evicted from their homes. There's a lot of issues that need to be addressed. Anthony Taylor is working on next year's legislative program right now. So they'll be meeting throughout the summer for that.
Jim, don't you think that with all of the revenues being generated, they could allocate some of those funds towards putting the spin on the program and implementing some new ideas and possibly developing an association of care providers or a professional holistic care type of guild of interest that would serve the very best interests of the program or create programs that what I would like to see from Dwight or Ellen is some kind of formal acknowledgement that the escalation of violence with our police forces across the country are becoming headline news, and we're seeing the militarization of our police force under the auspice of an emergency preparation type of FEMA campaign, and we're seeing daily news clips about raids and unnecessary use of force and a real intimidation by law enforcement. And it would be really interesting to have a piece of the OMMP pie go towards representing the interests of patients or go towards legal fees in pursuing rogue law enforcement officers, or even better yet, to give a portion of those registration fees towards health and wellness services where law enforcement can receive a little healing or a retreat or be able to experience what we know to be wellness and holistic care. I mean, it'd be great to see these guys participate in their own well-being and also be queried once a year about our constitutional rights and how it pertains to cannabis. Is the way I see it, every law enforcement officer that's been paid to enforce the drug war needs to be re-educated.
Wow, is that one question? I'll be honest with you. I'll just condense all that down into my answer. I disagree. These should be rolled back to what they used to be, $25 a year for low-income patients, no $100 fee to register your grower, no forced registration of yourself as a grower when you aren't, and let's make it a program that it was designed to be self-providing, but not a cash cow for the state, for Christ's sakes.
Right. Yeah, the thing that I really appreciate about the measure is that there's a threefold facet to this that requires a relationship. That once we start taking out the human element, then we start getting into the mechanization and the legislation and the corporatization of the program. If we don't have the patient and the care provider and the grower, in this case, I refer to the caregiver as the care provider. The difference with caregivers who are servicing, convalescent homes and this kind of nurses and this kind of thing. And so what we have is a three. To connect and communicate on a level of well-being. And if that's not happening, then, of course, nothing happens. And so it'd be good to see the caregiver's role activated, because as it stands, there is, 55,000 patients, maybe 26,000 caregivers, and those caregivers can be playing a much more creative and professionally administrative role in mediating the benefits of our program.
Well, how we're having to stack cards right now, and, people are, growers are listed as caregivers are listed as growers, service providers are listed as something else. It's very confusing all the way up to Oregon Health Services. I'll give you an example. My nephew is a caregiver a paid caregiver in the state program for me as a disabled person, yet he has a registration card that makes him my caregiver under the OMMP program that he can't get paid for. You know, yeah, they need to create new terms and boundaries and job descriptions.
Yeah, we need a new philosophy.
There's more than a few little wrinkles in the, it is the best program in the country, but there's, you know, that the three big wrinkles I talked about, you know, are just one of dozen, or three of dozens.
And I think that's another thing too, Jim, is that in the course of kind of like evaluating our measure and considering the tract, that we're not hearing enough about the creative facets of what we do, or the cultural benefits, or even the subtle achievements that we are having, or the influence we are having, which makes the Portland area and even the state of Oregon an appealing social demograph for people. And we learned last year in the trenches in 2010 we learned about the incredible migration from the Midwest and the East Coast who were coming to Northern California, Oregon, and Washington, and we know why they're here. You know, we know why everybody wants in on the Cascadia bioregional lifestyle. And so if we could get, you know, the powers that be to work with us in trying to art the interview towards who they think we are and who they think, you know, and what they think we're up to, then we may stand a better chance in re-inspiring ourselves and creating, you know, some facet of continuity with our views today.
Yeah, I've lived up off and on up here in Oregon since the mid-70s, and this is where I'm gonna be going to heaven. You know, the whole cultural change is, you know, radically different from Southern California lifestyle and just the whole mindset.
Yeah.
Let me finish up with the guests on the Global Marijuana March. There's two more I want to highlight.
Okay.
I'm going to pop some news on your show here. Sam Chabon, and your listeners may know him as the state organizer for Students for Sensible Drug Policy. He's been named as the Freedom Fighter of the Month in the upcoming issue of High Times.
Hey, can you repeat that, Jim? We had a fraud
in Oregon. You know, now there's more chapters of SSDP in Oregon than any other state. And then another half a dozen we haven't got time to go into. Pladia needs no introduction, LB Musica. You know, LB,
hey,
don't
Jim, hold on. Jim, can I ask you to hold on for a second? We had a dropout in the signal when you were giving us Sam's award. Can you just give that to me again, because we had a dropout there in the signal?
Oh yeah, no problem. Sam, I just found out from High Times he's going to be the next High Times Freedom Fighter of the Month.
Hey, that's great.
That issue should be out probably by the end of the week. And then the final guest I was saying is my friend LB Musica. I'm sure everybody's heard of her. Even Dwight Holden recognized her at the Salem debate. Are we on the air still?
through Skype and video conference your views with the rest of the community. And you can do so without looking over your shoulder and feel totally at ease within your living room to open up and tell us what you really think. In this case, what we really think is oftentimes obscured by the politics of the past. And so this is the effort to bring you the Progressive Party, the Oregon Progressive Party platform view, which essentially is to bring you a garden culture economic future where the influences of corporate America have been equalized, where artificial citizens and their time is money trip or their time is money program is fully equalized and exposed, giving everyone the opportunity to enter into essentially a new time, a time of abundance, a time of creativity, a paradigm where time is art, where we shift gears from the fear scarcity-based suggestions that we have to get ahead in order and stay ahead in order to survive, and do so at all costs to our fellow man and to our neighbors and what have you. And again, we want to suggest to you folks who are playing a more active role, including Mr. Chapman, my favorite chap, now that he's got his nomination from High Times and what have you, to become very patient. And that means to become an actual player. And to become an actual player is to get real with the deal. And again, without disrespecting anyone's effort, there are those of us who are promoting views who are not informed about the circumstances or details around the views that they are promoting and have formulated on behalf of our community. And it's because Ellen's husband is the editor of the Willamette Week, and they have nothing with the integrity of the cannabis campaign. And in fact, the Willamette Week, as far as I'm concerned, is a very crafty facet of journalism that plays both sides of the coin in propping itself as an alternative rag, and then essentially does everything it can to sink the creative influence of the alternative culture it claims to represent. And I'll give you a good example of that before signing off. During the Measure 74 campaign, they took a very crafty and actually quite a brilliant stance, and I think it was Willamette Week's endorsement that actually sank the measure, because what happened was is that the Willamette Week endorsed our measure. They did so with such an adolescent portrayal of our view and of our measure that the Mercury decided to shoot us down, because the Willamette Week primed the general public with a gloss over reason to vote yes. The Mercury, who is the community and the demograph, the psychograph of the Mercury is more, I would say, is closer to the core of that alternative creative community, that youth range that is anywhere from, I would say, 21 to 40, 45. And so what they did is they played a reverse card, or they played the occult card, and by endorsing us, they actually sank us. So, and I we missed that mark by about 6 or 7 factors of play, which unfortunately resulted in the lack of continuity with representing our best interests. But needless to say, we did manage 1.4 million votes, and we hope that you'll be paying attention to circumstances that are up and coming, know that this effort does represent the potential to catalyze a first planetary world peace. And we haven't discussed the details to that, but those of us who are into it for the right reasons, into it for the long haul, and into it having transcended the funk and the differences and the discord within this effort, insight and the utility and the tools and the resources now to piece together the most comprehensive alternative to the inevitable event, which essentially is the meltdown of Babylon Planet, the overhaul of time as money, the exposure of corporate culture in colonizing the natural world and stripping the natural born citizen of his or her rights. And now that we see the writing on the wall with the environmental catastrophes that are being disregarded by those who claim to represent your best interests, it's high time. Time to shine. So don't become that which you don't become that which you despise, and say what you mean what you say. And if you're capitalizing and commercializing and involved in the health and wellness first planetary peace movement, then think twice, because you will be held accountable one way or the other, whether it be in this lifetime or the next. This is Bud Justice, Pan Agent 57 on the wire, the Patient Advocate Network, rolling through an homelands near you. Stay tuned. We've got the cannabis campaign kicking off the outreach effort in Eugene this weekend. You've got the details skinny on that. We want to thank Jim and everyone for putting their wit and their will towards a bigger, better deal, and just in time at that. Thanks again for joining us. If you'd like to find out more about Siren Nation, you can do so at blogtalkradio.com, Progressive Party 77. All right, everybody. Have a good one. Peace and love to you. Rock the vote.